Well, as we wait for Ed to come back, I don't know what happened. Wesley, I don't know what to tell you. I hope you're not investing in the stock, because I get an idea from their website that they're looking for investors. It looks interesting. There are probably thousands of defense contracts with interesting designs for prototypes. Some of them will make them. A lot of them won't, unfortunately.
Well, the thing is that the U.S. Navy tested it, and it says it's been undergoing testing with the U.S. Navy as ship-to-shore logistics platform, a job which with it could ferry rapidly achieved route over cargo, held with its fuselage vastly cheaper than the current solution, which is apparently to fly things out to Navy ships on deck of Black Hawk helicopters, VT-2, Osprey VTOL aircraft. Thank you. It's not the one who's in the United States. report, you can report that they buy from TNA, they buy directly from TAI, American Taxi Manufacturer. But Turkey is starting to get involved in the Ukrainian Russian aggression in Ukraine in just February 24th. They started to deliver by stars, which are not very strong, to triggers in the economy
Minnesota, they took rockets, and they were involved with Washington before they started shooting at each other. They actually built rockets. And that's where rockets came after that river that goes through. And there's many, many rockets. It's very successful. Many of those rockets in Russia used much from either Kazakhstan or mostly from Kiev to the Russian.
Cyrus Rex will go to orbit in many, many,
so the kind of possibility of potentially hitting Earth. And it made the mistake is, you know, it basically would have been that might maybe it'll just pass here about 2024, so it would maybe hit, maybe not, and then come back and hit about 2028, 2029. Anyway, it's all been figured out that it won't happen for at least another 100 years, most likely. And not even after that, that time, 100 years from now. But, they're going to take this opportunity to have a Osiris Rex do what it did with Bennu. Go up very close to it. I'll say by years, 2029, when they plan on doing this. That's how it's going to take to get there. And, it'll still take, it goes around the sun many, many times, and eventually catch up to a process. And it'll go very close, it has all kinds of cameras, and a spectrometer on it, and we'll be able to get a lot of information from that asteroid. Very good. They'll rename their mission right now. It's called Osiris Rex. And they're going to call it Osiris Apex. You know, short for Osiris, a positive explorer. So, the mission's not over. The main mission is, you know, we'll be anyway after September 24th. On that Sunday, this big land. I mean, you started it. Any comments? WXY. Okay, very good. And by the way, Westlake is going to be staying by for another 5-10 minutes. He's going to cover topics that you put on last week. But when I went back to you last week, I don't know, are you still there? What's the anyway, I had some additional information from the X-34 topic that he brought up. But, on Mars, you have the Perseverance rover. Now, we know that, you know, it not only brought up itself, lands on the planet successfully, six big wheels, driving around. That was just 2,000-pound plus machine. On the bottom of it, it had the Ingenuity rover, and it was released from the belly of the vehicle after it had landed. And we know that thing has been very successful. All kinds of equipment, test equipment on board the helicopter, and of course on the Perseverance. All of it's successful. It's all the market. It's running on nuclear power. It's got a RTG, a radioisotope thermoelectric generator powering it. It's getting 109 watts on a regular basis. Constantly recharging its 40 amp hour batteries. It's doing very well. One of the pieces of equipment that they were interested in was something called Moxie. And I know we talked about this on the net, especially after it landed a couple of years ago. And they put it into operation soon after it landed. Moxie is an oxygen generating piece of equipment. It takes the carbon dioxide and separates it. Thank you. inform my orbitalists. Please say no, they can do that now. Any comments? WS.
One actually went further, you know,
going to a million miles away from Earth, 4 times the distance of the moon. The payload is quite light. Very, very heavy.
Possibility to set up a base on the south part of the moon.
Any comments? WS4. And to XAN, go ahead, Wes.
Yes. Today, you know, yesterday, I got across the news, which was very short, and I wasn't able fully to understand who is the author of the news, that researchers achieved production of the fuel on the moon that is able to produce enough of it for the vehicle to come back. Was it Americans? Was it Indians? Back to you.
That was India again. They're talking about extracting the oxygen out of the moon's surface. I think they had some kind of an experiment to detect if there's a certain mineral on the moon where they could do that. I think that was it. I came across that article as well, but I haven't really gotten that far into it. What?
Yeah, it would be good if you would be able to get it. But yes, I believe it was Indians. But the interesting is whether they were able to do it from the ice, or that was some sort of minerals, and what sort of minerals seems to be suitable for that.
It was a mineral. It wasn't from the ice. You know, they know, of course, that's, of course, the main goal, is to really get into the dark portions of these craters that have never seen the light of day, literally. And they believe there's ice there, and they've run many, many tests. I say that, NASA. The ISRO, which is the Indian version of NASA, even Korea. South Korea has an orbiting spacecraft going around the moon, and they detected, you know, ice in these craters. Of course, that's the main goal, to eventually do that, but to get other minerals out of the surface. I believe they think they can get aluminum and other I'll have to reread that, but I think aluminum was on that list as well.
I believe Dr. Roy is quite fluent in chemistry, and he would be able to eventually point that chemical reaction that is used for that process with aluminum that requires a big amount of energy. I wonder if Dr. Roy has something to add.
I know that is. That's why they always like to have aluminum recycled, because they say that saves a tremendous amount. It duplicates what you can recycle and bring back. Recycled stuff is like 10%. It costs like 90% more to actually manufacture aluminum. I remember that from my early studies of metallurgy. But a tremendous amount of electricity and everything to create aluminum. Just imagine if you could find it, you know, in small quantities, small proportions in the regular, and we can easily separate it. That would be a winner. We'll see. Anyway, wanted to go through a couple of things. First of all, Japan launched the H-2 rocket, which sent a Prism and Splint two payloads on board them. You know, I've talked about this in the past couple of weeks, but it finally got off the ground this week. The H-2 is the Japanese heavy lift vehicle, and soon to be replaced by the H-3. H-2 has two versions of it, the H-2A and the H-2A would always be used for sending cargo to the International Space Station. We have the H-2B for all the science missions, including this one, which was two payloads. One is a X-ray telescope. Talked about on the X-ray telescope, which is probably due or better than the Chandra Space Telescope that NASA has. Still operating, by the way. But the one has been launched. I heard it. Everything's going well. Eventually, they'll do the mission test. Drop it. So, that'll be looking for X-rays in space. It'll supplement it. Probably surpass Chandra. Yeah, by the way, there was another spacecraft. By Japan, so this replaces that one. So, and we're happy to get that one to orbit, but in that bearing, there was another spacecraft as well, and it was called Slim. And Slim is on its way to the moon. Slim stands for Mars Lander for investigating the moon. And Slim is going to be, you know, hopefully land successfully, and not down on the South Pole. This one they want to send to very near to where one of these tubes are, latitudes. We'll see how that works out. It should take a month or so to get there. I think they said 3 or 4 months. And the reason it takes so long is they go into orbit around the Earth, and they go through apogee, and each time they get down to perigee, they ignite the engine, and each time they do that, that creates a higher apogee until eventually they break loose of the Earth's gravity well, and then eventually the moon takes over, and they wind up in a moon gravity well, and eventually they wind up in orbit around the moon, and then hopefully they land successfully. This is a strange landing system. It's going to come down, it's going to slow down with a rocket. As it slows down, it gets near the moon. It's going to come down and turn at the last second. And as it hits the two pads, landing pads, it's going to fall forward. So, you know, looking at it, the rocket will actually be looking horizontal on the moon. Yeah, we'll see this if this is successful. Yeah, we'll see pictures of it there. Hopefully it's successful. And then it's got these other two legs, you know, so it's going to actually fall forward, and that would be the permanent resting place. But hopefully it works out. The idea is to land this thing precisely. You know, most landing footprints are quite large, you know, they go many kilometers by many kilometers. And they're planning on 300 feet. Accuracy of, you know, close to 300 feet or less where they're going to land. And it has on board, not only it has radar, you know, find out how high it is off the surface. It also has lasers. get them red lasers. It's going to bounce it off the surface. It would be more accurate. It's got all kinds of accelerometers. It knows its relationship to space, with where its attitude is. It's got all that information going into the computer. One of the things it also has is a popular system that NASA used for landing Perseverance on Mars. They have a similar type of system. It has a record of the whole landing area photographed. And it's going to take pictures of as it's coming in of the area, and that will go into the computer. And then, of course, the computer will tell the thrusters, a little bit more, a little bit less, and they plan on landing exactly where they want to land. The idea is that pinpoint landing, which is going to help everybody. Everybody can do that, especially when you get down to the South Pole and you have a base down there. You don't want to land, kilometers away from where everybody else is. So that's going to help. Not that NASA hasn't really done that. They actually did that on Apollo 12. Apollo 11 was supposed to land in a certain spot. Neil Armstrong said, well, this is not right where I'm going. I'm going to go a little further. Which he did. He wanted to make sure he didn't land in craters. There was a couple of big boulders around. He didn't want to land on a tilt. He did roll the dice, but they said he only had like 15, 20 seconds left of fuel left on that descent engine when he did finally land. But when Conrad went up with Alan Bean and Apollo 12, their goal was to land near the surveyor. One of the surveyor missions, the sixth surveyor mission, Surveyor 3, had already been on the moon. And he told NASA, I'm going to land this thing on top of it. And he did. He landed only like, they said, it was like less than a football field apart from where the surveyor was. And this, but I think we're going to... going to be outnumbered by the people that want to continue doing doing work, not only, you know, for NASA or with NASA, but, you know, to keep their areas wherever, you know, wherever they're in charge of, you know, whether you're a senator or a congressman, you want to keep your district in good standing with NASA, that's for sure. There's plenty of work involved. Back to you, Wes.
Thank you for that information. The last question I gave you before you didn't respond. Any activity in the core of the moon? If any?
They have a seismograph on the Indian spacecraft. Similar to what we had them on Apollo mission as well, and just the other day they did detect a moonquake, so they're trying to evaluate that, and they believe it was a real that they have to confirm it, of course, but. Yeah, if that's true, then it shows that the moon is a little bit more active than we thought. NASA detected one, you know, 50 years ago. It shows there is some activity. They might not be able to land back on a runway if it was an emergency. It might be in the middle. So this parasail would help them do that. So that was the X-38. Interesting vehicle. But again, that project was canceled. It was under development. I mean, they did pick one of these things up and on the bottom of, I think they used a B-52 back then, and they just dropped it to see if the power cell would work. So, yeah, I mean, I think they got that far. Then the Russians had the Bjorn. The Bjorn was the one that looked like, in fact, looked almost exactly like the space shuttle, and they would launch it from Russia. And eventually it was going to have a crew. And they had massive engines, these Energina engines that were built by Energina, and the